Hello, and welcome to the 7th edition of the North Fulton Drama Club podcast. My name is Thomas Strickland. From my left, let's go around the table. Yes, that would be my left.
I don't know my left from my right.
I'm Nikki Strickland.
I'm Dory Turner.
Alyssa Jackson.
And we're a bit punchy. We're...
We've had sleep. Oh my God.
We've had sleep.
And hot beer.
It's been a week since we closed the second show of our season, since we closed Twelfth Night. We have assembled for the podcast party, which was also a birthday party for one of our esteemed founders of the Georgia Podcast Network. So we're a bit cracked out on the old birthday cake, but we'll do what we can to get through. Twelfth Night was great. We had 4 nights of 4 shows.
None of which were above freezing.
One was. 3 cold shows.
One comfortable show.
It was bizarre because our first show, Love's Labor's Lost, we opened to a couple of shows that were pretty cold. People had to bundle up in our audience. But we figured, this is Georgia. It's October. It shouldn't be so cold. Little did we know.
Hardy, well, har, har. I'd like to state for the record that I thought it would be cold, but I was overruled.
Well, because 2 years ago, there was only 1 cold weekend out of 4. Yes. You have to admit, 75% chance, not bad.
Yes, but with our luck, because during Love's Labor's Lost, we indeed had 3 cold shows. 1 very warm show.
But my
for the record, I would like to say that if we did the show in June, it would be cold, because you know what?
That's our luck.
You know, I had good reason for it. I rehearsed through September and October 1 year when I did Hamlet outside in a similar situation. And it was chilly. Every night of rehearsal, everyone was outfitted in wool. We get to opening weekend, and it is at night, 69 degrees, and we're all in wool.
Oh, to be then.
Oh, to be then. To be sweating within yourself. It was fantastic. Yes, I don't know what that means. Sweating within myself? It's the name of my...
Perhaps sweating within your clothes?
Within my clothes.
It's the name of his single on his
so
next
hot.
Album.
It's a great band.
It is a great band. They're wonderful. So, with that in mind, I just want to go around the table and ask, what were your favorite moments from these 4 shows that we had?
Gosh. I think that one of my favorite moments, or it wasn't really a moment, it was more like 3 90-hour days, was when Alyssa and I were running what quickly became termed the Guatemalan sweatshop, because we got so, it was so cool.
It was fun.
In those last few days, it was the Sunday and Monday and then Columbus Day, the whole costuming of the show just suddenly came together, and that was a lot of fun, and then people all started to be able to wear their costumes, and they were all excited, and it was great, and it was fun. But then, other than that, it was the sudden realization on opening night that there was no sound effect. And I'll let Alyssa tell the rest of it, but there was a sound effect that was missing, and there was this moment of sort of utter terror, and it was really funny.
Nikki and I were the backstage folks for Inside the House. We, as you all know, we perform... on the porch of Barrington Hall and on the lawn, and we are able to have access to the kitchen and the inside of the house to do scene change or hang out in between scenes and backstage area. So Nikki and I are running back there, and we hear the line coming up, and we're like, every night leading up, we had been saying, oh, someone was going to bring us a sound effect for a clock sound. Well,
somebody was supposed to bring a triangle.
Someone was supposed to bring a triangle.
Unfortunately, this person is notoriously absent-minded, and because we were so... just ragged out on that day. We had so much to do. It kind of slipped our minds.
Didn't
come up until we really needed it.
So, if you recall, before you go any further, that we were actually standing out behind the audience.
Yeah, you guys
were
in the house.
Oh, that's right.
We weren't in the house.
That's right.
That was another night.
And the trigger, you guys knew something was going on, was when we were standing out there admiring from behind the audience, admiring our show and how lovely it was. And I turned to Nikki, and how would you describe...
Like, your eyes sort of got the size of saucers. Yeah. I think you said, oh, shit. And then you ran off, and I was like, what?
I ran quickly around the side of the house.
You're
running like a leprechaun or something. Yes. It was very, very strange looking sort of running.
How can I run quietly with my thought?
I have no idea. And Alyssa looked at me and I looked at her and I was like, what is going on?
And then suddenly, I guess we were like, oh, sound effect. Oh, God, we don't have a sound effect. So we take off for the house. And Thomas is in there rummaging around. We're frantically looking through every drawer in this kitchen, trying to find something that could sound like a bell. And we're looking around, and I see a metal candlestick. It's a candelabra.
It's a candelabra. And then I grab you grabbed
the candelabra. You found the candelabra, and I'm looking for something we can strike against it to make this clock sound. And I pull up in a drawer, and one of you had found like a fork or something.
It was a corkscrew.
Yeah, and I said, okay, that's not going to do it. I was like, that is not going to do it. And I look and I found a nutcracker, a set of those metal nutcrackers. And I was like, yes. So we hand it to Thomas and he goes out.
And I think the door opened right as the line before the sound
of the clock upbraids me.
Yeah, it was right.
No, that's the line that comes after.
Was,
right.
Better
to fall before the lion than the wolf. And at that point, the bell is supposed to ring, and every rehearsal, but until then, it was just me going, bong. So, come out there, and I just have the candelabra, and just whang, whang, whang. Oh, it was horrible. but it made the noise, and it was loud enough, and our actors kept awesome. On going.
then it was like, yeah, that's our sound effect. Word. We're going to own it.
Because we figured out how best to even hold the candelabra to get a nice ringing clang instead of it sounding like a cowbell.
Clunk, clunk, clunk. So then we started saying the line before it every night. We started saying, I got a prescription. I know, I got a fever.
That was all Wendy, though.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more candelabra.
That was all Wendy. We have to give full credit where credit
is. So yeah, that was definitely my favorite moment of each night, was getting ready to hit, to do the sound effect. And then on the last night...
Well, it was like the third show, though. There was some confusion of, where had Thomas gone? And is he out there going to do the sound effect? We don't know.
I was right there.
So on the last night, I just wanted to do something. I really wanted to do it. And Thomas was very possessive of the candelabra.
I was very proud of my candelabraing.
And I was like, I want to do it. So he allowed me to hold the nutcracker and actually strike the candelabra.
It was a collaborative
effort. A collaborative sound effect, and it was great fun. So that was my favorite moment, was getting to do it. And coming out for the Maria dance party. Was probably my favorite moment, because we have this awesome Indian song, which was featured on Heroes a couple of weeks ago. Very random, but we would come out and we would all dance after,
for like 15 seconds before we made everyone go inside so they could get warm.
Yes.
And that was fun.
I have two favorite moments. One of them involves me, and the other one involves another actor, Matt, who played Orsino, the very pompous and full of himself Duke. Matt was very proud of his turban abilities. He said that he was the best turban tier in the cast.
It was a damn fine turban.
It was a
turban.
It was a beautiful turban, except on, I believe, was that opening night when it came off?
Was it opening? I think Clara lost her turban on opening night. Maybe Matt lost his a couple of
It was another night. Anyway, it's act five. It's the chorus act. So we're all on stage. I'm just standing there. I'm having to react to things but not say anything. And Matt's turban starts coming off. And he's very exasperated during the scene, Orsino is. So Matt just grabs his turban and during one very loud line flings it across the stage. And it just kind of unravels in this toilet paper-like fashion over onto the ground. And I am trying so hard to keep a straight face, not reacting to it. It was really quite hilarious. So that was very nice. My other favorite moment was the second Friday, when it was easily 38 degrees outside, and my costume, I played Maria, was thin. It was thin.
Sheer.
I'll say.
Sheer. It was sheer in places. Sheer all over. What are you talking about?
During the fifth act, I had to stand there pretty much the whole act with hands in little bowing position and just shiver, basically. And so there's a point in the act where the letter which Maria has planted to fool Malvolio, it comes out that she wrote the letter and Malvolio figures it out, and Maria gets to sneak off stage, which was our lovely director's idea. And I'm supposed to sneak very slowly, but I was so cold I
ran, sprinted off stage because I was sprinting toward the blankets that were waiting on me. So that was my other favorite moment, was the blankets. Sprinting toward them.
And the Hot Pockets that all of you had stuffed down. Yeah, everyone had, all the girls had ones in their bra.
Hot hands.
And it was awesome. Hot hands.
Hand warmers. Not Hot Pockets.
No. Makes it sound like they had little bread
Nobody
pockets
has
full
hot
of ham and cheese.
In their bra.
That would have been a good idea. It would have stayed warm for a really long time.
It stunk really
and a bit
badly.
Gooey.
A bit gooey.
No, that would have violated the rule about food and costume.
Right. Yes,
I remember Wendy saying she couldn't figure out why she couldn't get warm. She didn't have any of them in her bra, and she went to change, and four of them fell out of her bra, and she was just so cold. That she didn't realize she had them in there.
Well, that was what I gave her. Like, I had two on me, and it was a curtain call, and we're putting them back in their saris, in sort of like the fastest sari assembly known to man. And I was like, you know, I pulled them out. I was like, do you need these? She's like, yeah. And she stuffs them in her shirt. And then later on, she's like, I had like 50.
It was awesome.
One moment that made me really sad was my very, very favorite part of the show is when Malvolio comes out in his yellow stockings and his cross-gartered for the first time, and it freaks Olivia out, and he chases her all over the stage. And every night, I was like, I've got to get out into the audience so I can see this. And every night, I managed to miss it. Until closing night, I managed to get out in time. And
it was well written.
What meanest thou by that, Malvolio?
Some are born great. Some achieve greatness.
What sayest thou?
And some have greatness thrust upon them.
Heaven restore thee!
Remember who commended thy yellow stockings.
Thy yellow stockings!
We wish to see thee ever cross-gartered.
Cross-gartered!
Oh, go to, thou art made as thou desirest.
Am I made?
If not, let me see thee a servant's
dinner. Why, this is very midsummer madness!
And I giggled immensely because it was just so funny.
That
so
costume
funny.
Was great. I'm like, gorgeous. Those pants are, you know,
it was a
manufacturing.
It was a manufacturing miracle. That was one of the pieces that Nikki
and Daniel rocked them. He rocked them hard.
He owned them.
He really did.
Well, you know, what does it take to rock in an upholstery tassel and matching upholstery cord as your cross gartering? And the tassel was like sort of the denouement of the whole thing.
It looked like a pasty. And when we brought them out, everyone was like, who's wearing pasties? And we're like,
pasty.
Malvolio's knees. So, yes.
My favorite, there were so many good moments in there. What really kind of made it kind of rewarding was two nights out of the four, we had a group of kids from the same middle school, because they were doing Twelfth Night on their own. They were doing their own production of Twelfth Night. So the first night, we had this row of five shivering little girls in the front row.
One of them was playing Fabian.
And one of them was playing Fabian. And Fabian, it's a fair to middling sized role.
Fabian is a continuity problem, but whatever.
Well, Fabian, it's, you know, it's, I don't know how she got in there, but Anna took that role and owned it, and it was
awesome.
Fantastic.
It was awesome.
But it was made it even better because when she came out for her curtain call, those five little girls were the spark for the woo.
I got the advantage of being in on that curtain call with Anna, so I felt good about myself.
You get to share the Fabian fan club.
They were so happy about
affection.
Anna.
It was great. And then a couple of nights later, we had more kids that were also playing. They said they were playing Olivia.
Toby.
Malvolio.
Olivia, Festy.
No, it's Olivia, Malvolio, Toby, and Andrew.
Well, what they said was, we're playing Olivia, Malvolio, Andrew, and the drunk. It's like, yes.
Yes,
the drunk. And we told Lee that later, and said, they said they were playing the drunk. He said, is that like me? Is that Toby? Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Toby,
yes.
The drunk. I saw that kid with the kid playing Malvolio during intermission and said what did you think about the way Daniel's playing it? And he was like, it's a lot different than I thought it would be. And I didn't know what he meant. Turns out he meant costume.
Yeah, because he was talking to Liz and he was like, one of the girls was in, she was in our, the lady, I suppose I should say, who was in Love's Labor. She came and did backstage and concessions for us, and she was like trying to get to the bottom of what was it that this kid thought about the show. And as it turns out, he momentarily confused Egypt with India, but he wasn't picking a bone with Daniel's interpretation because, you know, this is a very prim Malvolio we have, but you can also play Malvolio in a number of other ways. So she thought perhaps he was playing him as more, I believe the word Liz used was lugubrious. You know, but he really just meant that in his production, they're not going to be wearing Indian clothes. So
which that makes sense. And apparently they're doing a much shorter version of Twelfth Night. I would assume with a lot of the innuendo cut out of it.
Yeah,
I would hope so.
There's a little bit of
well,
that.
I mean, I just...
And the singing.
And the singing
can always be cut.
I'm glad we kept what little bit of singing... Because we cut all the singing out of Love's Labors. We just didn't want to have
Well, because
part.
There was only one part of singing,
well,
and it made no sense.
Oh, Brandy had a fabulous voice. She sounded awesome.
Sounded great.
Yeah, she did a great job, but there was a lot more singing.
Yeah. It would have slowed the show down.
Yeah. Well, because when we were reading it to cut it, we were doing what we always do, which is starting to read far too late and cutting at 3 o'clock in the morning after too many beers.
Oh, just get rid of it.
What is this? This is boring.
And if you had the advantage of being backstage, you got to see Daniel do his Lollipop Guild dance. From Wizard of Oz, you know, we represent the lollipop.
Daniel
he had the
pointed
best shoes.
He had pointy gold and black shoes.
And so he would do that every night for us, the little Lollipop Guild dance.
And he's kind of short anyway, so it really
awesome.
He was wearing a very long kurta, and it just served to make his legs look
awesome,
absent. And
even
it was,
after hemming, but yeah, the shoes for this show. I mean, cheesy crazy on a photo stick. The things we went through for these shoes. So we ordered, and I'll tell this little story, and this is probably the last, because this hadn't happened the last time. I mean, I said I was getting a package from Pakistan, but I hadn't gotten it yet. We ordered these shoes, and some of them came from Pakistan, and some of them came from actually India in Rajasthan.
Say
whatever.
How it was packed.
Okay, so the one package, first of all, it's coming through some shipping service that you've never heard of ever, and sounds like it's coming from Mexico. The name of it was, I forget, it was something Mex, I don't remember, but it was sort of weird. And then I come home, and there's this sort of bubble wrap on my front porch that seems to have been attacked with packing tape. And it seems to have some sort of a handwritten shipping label on it, and I'm like, what in the... I have no idea. To get it open is like a surgical procedure, so you get it open, and then it's wrapped in canvas under that, and there's some handwritten, and I swear to God, Sanskrit address label in there. And then you get it open, and I'm looking at these shoes, and I'm thinking to myself, some of these are just not going to work.
And they did not.
And they didn't. But the best part was there was one pair that we didn't realize until, like, way down the road that it was two left feet. Which was even better. So we ended up, we had one incredibly failed craft project, which if we're very lucky, we'll post pictures of, because we chronicled it. We chronicled it up until the point where I was like, this is a terrifying disaster.
Trying to take apart a pair of Indian shoes and somehow attach the tops onto another pair of shoes.
If it would have been a different pair of soles and only one size instead of like four, it would have been fine.
I take full responsibility, but because to me, in my mind, it looked like it would work.
And it could have worked, except for that it didn't.
Except it didn't work at all.
So we ended up ordering kung fu shoes and spray painting them. And
they looked great.
And they did look great, although there was another nervous breakdown that almost occurred in that
kung
process.
Kung fu
but
shoes,
anyway.
$4.98.
That's right.
I have to say, you guys really just were amazing with the costumes. I was completely impressed with how amazing you did.
We have come leaps and bounds. I mean, the costuming for Love's Labors was great, but a lot of that was bought as
well. The costuming for Love's Labors, we're like, we got this dress for $7 and this dress for $12. I don't know how I feel about spending $40 on this other one.
Yeah, and then our perspective had to completely change when most of the price tags on the Indian clothing that we were found was like $200, $250, $300. And we're like, that is not going to be okay.
Like, $40 is a deal.
$40 is a deal. $40 is a steal.
But
we can
anyway,
get it for $40?
Yeah. I think we're getting the wrap it up sign.
Yeah.
That's okay. And all in all, it was a great show.
Yes.
Pleased to have done it. And we'll get started again next year. Our auditions for our next show will be February 19th and 20th is where we have it scheduled for right now. The show will go up the first two weekends of May. It will be Much Ado About Nothing.
Woo-hoo-hoo.
Which seems to be that everyone seems to like that show. So
great
if everyone
show.
Likes it, everyone needs to come out and
it's
audition
the Keanu
for it.
Effect.
No.
No.
No, it's not the Keanu.
We will not talk about Keanu.
If you're going to relate it to the movie, it has to be the Denzel effect, if anything. Thank you very much for listening.
We'll take you out with a sound effect
from
our show.
Oh, yes, a sound effect from the show. Bangles. Oh, look, it's Bangles. Say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
The music used in Episode 7 of the NFDC podcast was Track 3 off the album Mixture 1 by Lisa DeBenedictis, available only at magnatune.com.
as she flies. The cuckoo, she's a merry bird. She sips from pretty flowers to make her voice clear.
Welcome to the seventh.
Yes!
Wait! That was bedtime. Yeah, you should turn that off. No, they're recording the podcast.
Dwayne, are you doing this on purpose?
What's that?